Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we find all the triangles in your secret video. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorbabes, Frizzbabe. How you doing, Mr. Frizzbabe?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good. And we are joined this week by special guest Mark Fredo of the Spectacle Theater, where he takes dumps.
That's a half-truth.
How are you doing, Mark Fredo?
I'm okay. I'm good. How are you guys? Doing? I mean, I know how you are because you already told each other, but...
You want to hear it again?
I want to hear it from you guys.
I went from good to all right. I don't like being asked things twice. Yeah, yeah. It's very unsettling.
We're getting off on the wrong foot here, I think.
I think so. I think me bringing up the libelous accusation that you take poops at the Spectacle Theater threw us all off.
Yeah.
I apologize for bringing that up.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of monster would spread rumors like that.
Yeah, no need for name calling. We squashed the beef with no police involvement, and it was confidential.
That's true. We certainly did.
I'm gonna have to call that number, find out what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Annie.
I'm a vegan, and I really want to avoid beef here.
But I don't want there to be any cops involved. So on this episode, we're gonna finish our trilogy that we've been doing the last couple of weeks, where we've been doing Good, the Bad, and the Uglies with movie sequels, and then, part twos of movies, and then we did that again. And now we're going to do part threes of movies. We're going to get down to brass tacks here at the beginning of the show, and jump right into this Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where we're going to go over Good, Bad, and Ugly examples of part threes of movie franchises. I'm going to start off with you, Mark Fredo, as you're our guest here. And I don't want to step on your toes, as I feel we might have the same good part
I think three. We probably do. And I have a toss-up, but I know that you probably have both of these. So I'm going to say them both, but we can just talk about them anyway. But my good part three is going to be Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Nice.
Or Saw 3. So Saw 3 is kind of a wild card for me because I did not anticipate ever liking it, and I think probably upon initial viewing I did not like it. I would see these as they came out for the first, I think, four I saw in the theater, like on Halloween when they came out, and then after that I just kind of lost interest and or like didn't have any money to throw away on such, you know, frivolous pursuits. But the first Saw movie I will defend. I think it's really good and different and scary. And then two is just like a total piece of garbage. And then three ended up also being like really gross and kind of inventive and genuinely more entertaining than I think any of the other ones, which is interesting, especially going with Nightmare on Elm Street rules, where the first one's great, the second one's not, and then the third one is like incredible. So this seemed like an easy choice, but I really couldn't pick between those two, especially given that kind of connection. But yeah,
and both of these franchises are similar in that, like, the makers saw the third one, and they're like, this one is so good that for the rest of the franchise, let's just copy this one exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a testament to how good the third one is on both of these. And yeah, that I'm glad that Saw 3 was good, because otherwise I would totally write that off, like, that whole franchise off as just, like, a horrible way to like bastardize the first one, which is good, and which most of it is, but because they have that good third one, then they save themselves from that. And I feel that if you, as long as you have two good movies in your franchise, then your franchise is worthwhile.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
What say
it doesn't
you,
work with Halloween though, because Halloween 1, 2, and 3 are all good.
I disagree about part 2.
I know you do, but 2 is good.
And it also doesn't count because 3 is like a totally different thing, though. I don't know. They play. They got their own rules.
That's true.
They got their own rules over there on Halloween. They play.
My number three plays by its own rules too. Are we doing this direction, or Parker? Am I stepping on your toes?
You're stepping all over my toes. No, JK.
All right, well, JK. I'm off them. We're very polite here.
I'm JK. JK, go ahead. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
So speaking of breaking rules, my good does that. I picked Thanksgiving 3 because it takes this completely bizarre approach to making sequels. And I thought this might be a good way to, I guess, bookend this series we've done for the past couple episodes. Just because of that fact. I mean, it's really strange. It tries a lot of stuff. It fails at, you know, a lot of it, but it also does just really interesting stuff anyway. And I just like the idea that they skip number two in this series that they're doing. So they skip number two, it's unseen, and you have number three to deal with. And it's nothing like the first installment at all. But still keeps the title, still keeps the characters. And it's just, it's extremely bizarre. So, yeah, Thanksgiving 3. That was my good pick.
I like that movie a great deal. I
like that they just avoid that sophomore slump.
Yeah.
With Thanksgiving 2, the new class, or whatever it was going to be called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of skipping things. Leisure Suit Larry is one of the best video game franchises ever, and they skip over one of their, like they skip number 5 or something. For some reason. And when Pool Party Radio was still a zine, I swore that there would never be a 7th issue ever. I was done with Pool Party, the zine. And so when we got back together to do a new one, we just skipped over 7. We said, well, there's not going to be a 7. I promised there wouldn't be. So let's do number 8. So skipping over things is fun. Also, there's a lot of puns in Thanksgiving 3.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that.
And puppets. Like every other, I think every character is a puppet except for 2 people.
Yeah. And that one guy is.
I didn't see it.
But it was mandatory. I like that one human character who's like just in the background and he goes, "Hey, yo, it's Uncle Donnie over here. We got Uncle Donnie." That's all he says. I like that guy. My good. It was going to be Freddy 3, but I also had a backup, as I know that you liked Freddy 3. But Freddy 3 is the best Freddy movie, I would say. And it's the one, I think when you think about Freddy, you think about that Freddy. You think about a wisecracking Freddy who's also scary.
Yep.
You don't think about a strictly scary Freddy, like in the first one, or a strictly funny Freddy. You think about a nice mixture of the two, and that's where Freddy 3 was. It was the crossroads of goofy 3D cartoon Freddy and just a malicious, weirdo, scary Freddy.
Sure.
And I like that. But my other one that I had for my alt is Meatballs 3.
Ooh, yeah.
This is a movie we did way back in the olden days of Junk Food Dinner. And it's a movie where the first Meatballs was very successful, and it was like a PG sort of kids romp about people going to camp. And then I think the second one was basically the same thing, but I haven't seen it. And then the third one, they just went a totally different way. Like, I guess, you know, they just took one little side character from the first two, and they did away with the children. They made this rated R, and they made it... It has the best plot of any movie, which is to say that a porn star, in order to get into heaven, she must go back to Earth as a ghost and help a virgin lose his virginity. And that's the best idea for a movie anybody's ever had in the history of the world, I think. And I love that. I love that they shunned the children, and they made a sex comedy. And the movie's good, too. And Patrick Dempsey is a dreamboat.
I think Shun the Children, Make a Sex Comedy should be on your coat of arms.
I think so, too. I'll put it on
That's
my grave
good,
for sure.
Yeah.
I'll figure out what that is in Latin and send it to you.
Yeah. At the very least, it will be the new slogan for Pool Party Radio. Much like how Junk Food Dinner's new slogan is No Police Involvement and Confidential.
That's so good.
What is your bad movie, Mark Fredo?
Well, this was difficult because there are a lot of really crappy Part 3 movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a little obvious, but I'm going to have to give it up to Godfather 3.
That's understandable. I have not seen that one.
It is a terrible movie. I would just suggest never seeing it. But, I mean, it's probably impossible to be held up next to Godfather 1 and 2. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they can't all be bangers.
The third one's basically a stage for the Coppola kids to show their acting chops. Isn't that right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
It's a dumb movie.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, I've only seen the scene on YouTube where the girl gets shot and like just kind of falls over, like it's acting 101.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've seen, but I don't want to see any more.
You've seen the whole movie.
Yeah. Speaking of acting 101, there's a scene where they try to get Sofia Coppola to act like a rock. It's like, you're a rock, and you're becoming a tree.
I think they said Iraq.
Yeah. You're in Iraq.
Yeah.
And you can't sleep.
Yeah, just watch one, and then watch two, and then either watch one or two again.
Yeah. I would suggest watching one again. I think one is pretty much a perfect movie. I am very much in the minority in that I don't like the second one very much.
Mm.
But I think the first one is perfect.
Although, if I had to pick a runner-up for this, and I think this is true. Is Batman and Robin the third Batman movie?
Batman Forever.
Oh,
I was
going to
talk about that because your mention of like part three is being so shitty.
Yeah.
And I feel like all of our choices will be obvious because whenever you tack on part three, it's basically a signal of like, stay away.
Yeah.
We did this for money. I mean, if you can read the part three, you know to not spend money on this.
Right.
But we're trying to like rely on getting, you know, lots of minnows, lots of suckers in here. And Batman Forever tries to cop out of that fatal flaw. Well, Batman series did because it's Batman Returns. Batman Forever, like Batman Returns, yeah, that's kind of a part two. Like Returns is always kind of known as a sequel, mm-hmm. but Batman Forever, you know, it's obvious that it's the third installment of this weird Batman send up series that they were doing that had like no continuity, and yeah, it's strange. It's just a strange fucking film. But by no means do they say like, hey, this is the third Batman,
right? But you know it is.
Yeah, exactly. In your heart of hearts, you know Val Kilmer is just Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that he had become Michael Keaton in real life after that movie.
That would have been interesting.
Mm-hmm. He is a great method actor, so...
Yeah, it's true.
Probably could have done it, yeah.
Man, you know what I should have picked for my good was the third Harry Potter movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything about
that. Yeah, what is that?
That one's really good. That's Prisoner of Azkaban. It's like super dark and...
Gary Oldman's in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard good things about it. I've only seen one and four and the last one, I think.
Yeah, see, like, one is straight up for kids, and then two is, like, a little darker. Three is just, like, you know, kind of fucked up and horrible. And then the rest are kind of... I didn't see the very last one, like, part 7.2.
Mm-hmm.
But I would. I don't have any... I have no real beef with the Harry Potter franchise.
Yeah, I don't know. I only liked the one guy, Longbottom. Is that his name? Neville?
Neville, yeah, yeah.
I liked that guy in the last one because he does like some heroic stuff, but I didn't. That was pretty much the only thing I liked.
Do you guys like the Wizard People Dear Readers audio commentary?
Yeah, those are so funny.
They're fantastic. Parker, you're familiar with these, right? I know I've gushed about these to you.
Yeah, you've gushed about them, but I haven't seen much of them.
I'll send you them clips, because it is so funny.
Excellent. I don't know much about these Harry Potters.
You know Baby Cakes, though, right? Professor Brothers?
Yes.
All the bread? Same dude. Yeah, it's really good.
Speaking of really good, what is your bad part three?
Whoa, yeah, sorry, I got us off track there. That was my fault.
That's quite all right.
This is kind of a last-minute decision, as were all of these, as Parker might point out. But, realizing this pretty recently, Terminator 3, and I say this because it's completely forgettable in the wake of Terminator 2, which is probably one of the best sequels to have ever come out. A part 2, so good that you practically ignore the first one. I mean, I've known people who've seen only Terminator 2. Just. Like, they won't go to one, and obviously won't go to three. What about four? The John Connor thing?
Yeah.
No. Unless they're just really curious about what's-his-face blowing up on the set.
Oh, yeah.
That thing.
I'm always curious about that. I thought that Terminator 3 sucked for, like, a long time after seeing it. And then I saw Terminator 4, and now Terminator 3 is A-okay.
Can you tell that Christian Bale was blowing up on the set?
No, because he's a very good actor. But there was, like, just nothing going on in that movie. Like, they got all these cool people, Christian Bale and the girl who was Gwen Stacy before the new Gwen Stacy. And I guess that's all you need in a movie is those two people. But the whole movie stank. It was, like, nothing, you know, it was just stuff that you've seen before. Like, people are in a desert, and it's like the apocalypse, and it's like Mad Max, but without any cool stuff in it.
But yet, if I talk about Terminator 2, you could probably remember at least three very memorable scenes and a few catchphrases from the film.
I remember.
At least.
Yeah. I remember Bobby Butnick most of all.
Yeah. Right. He bites it really quickly, doesn't he?
I don't think so. I think he just escapes and is never seen from again.
Well, he dies in the apocalypse. We can all be sure of that.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
That red hair is not surviving nuclear radiation.
That's the saddest part of those movies, then, I guess, is that all the survivors from the first three die by the time the fourth one happens.
They tried, though. You know, that's what counts.
Yeah.
And if that's only if you follow the long milking it series. I mean, like I said, most people stop at two. They start and stop at two. So they don't know, like, they think that everything turns out. They're like, oh, hey, figured out a loophole. And everything's going to work out. There's no robot apocalypse. John Connor's fine. They destroyed the Skynets. Whatever that is.
Drinking milk now.
Yeah. So, yeah, Terminator 3 just kind of extends it. And it, when I go back and watch it, it's not even, I don't know, it's not very visually stimulating also. It's like, we made a Terminator, but we made him look older, and and somehow the CGI looks worse than it did in 1992.
That's true. I do like Claire Danes, though.
Oh, we all like Claire Danes.
That goes without saying.
Sure.
It's just, she doesn't save Terminator 3.
The Joe Morton, who played Miles Dyson in Terminator 2, used to come into one of the cheese stores that I worked at, and I never asked him this, but I always kind of suspected, because if you checked the Wi-Fis, like the networks that would come up, one of them was called Skynet.
That's
and
awesome.
I was like, it's got to be his, right?
Yeah.
I
mean,
what else would that guy call his Wi-Fi network?
That's true. That would have to be
him. You said it was one of the cheese stores you worked at? How many cheese stores did you work at?
In my life, I've worked at three.
Okay.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's
not
a lot
at the
of
same
cheese
time.
Stores.
Yeah, just slinging curd.
And you've never lived in Wisconsin. That's the weird part.
Yeah.
There's a cheese castle in Wisconsin on the way to my mom's house.
Oh.
It's shaped like a castle. You know, just so you know.
Sounds good. Yeah, there's Grandpa's Cheese Barn in Ohio.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's not shaped like a castle.
No. Is it shaped like a barn?
No, it's shaped like a grandpa.
Pardon, but isn't it called Grandpa's Cheese Log Barn?
Oh,
I'm almost certain
worse.
There's a log thrown in there, because I went to a few concerts in Cleveland from Dayton, and that would account for 30% of the hilarity on the trip. Like, turn around to Grandpa's Cheese Log Barn.
I think logs were probably just one of the things they offered, because Cheese Log Barn doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Not as much as Nut Log. So.
Yeah. That's true. But nobody's buying Grandpa's nut log.
You'd be surprised. It's
I would be shocked.
You would drop a nut log over how many people are buying them.
At the Spectacle Theater, apparently.
Taking dumps.
According to one source. It's perhaps telegraphed a bit, as I mentioned Mad Max earlier, but it's beyond Thunderdome.
Mm.
This movie breaks all the rules, I feel. In that... The rules that you get a pop star to be in your movie for some reason.
Okay.
I don't like that. And you introduce tons of children characters into your movie.
You hate kids, though.
I hate kids in movies. I think it's just the worst thing to do. I think it's, I don't know, it, like, takes all the suspense out of a movie, because you know that unless Lloyd Kaufman directed it, and sometimes even then, children are not going to die in a movie, no matter what. And nothing, no horrible things will befall them, and they're basically just there to be cute and to make Mad Max look heroic because he wants to save them or whatever. Also, it's probably, like, if those kids were really, like, feral and left alone in a wasteland, they would probably die in, like, a matter of days because they're stupid little children and they're underdeveloped.
This is shun the kids all over again. This coat of arms is going to look great on you.
So,
you should have shunned the kids, added more sex, am I right?
They should have added a little bit more sex, or a little bit less sex, maybe. I think the movie had too much sex, perhaps. I haven't seen it in a long time. I've only seen it once. I love the first two, and I hate the third one.
Question. You said you don't like the pop star being added, and Tina Turner is showing up and Beyond Thunderdome, but yet you're excited for Machete 2, which has Lady Gaga on it.
Yeah.
Well. Well, all right. Yeah, all right. I don't know. Well, I'm not so much excited to see, like, Lady Gaga's acting. I'm excited to see Lady Gaga's butt.
Sure.
And I don't think Lady Gaga is going to be the second build person in Machete Kills.
Right. I think Lady Gaga's butt might be.
I would prefer that.
Danny Trejo, Lady Gaga's butt.
Yeah. And then Lady Gaga. So, yeah, I would probably be opposed if Lady Gaga was, like, the second to main star, but I assume she'll probably only have like two lines or something. But I mean, I'm sure there's probably movies where pop stars have been good, so I don't want to, you know, there's probably people who have broken that breaking of the rule.
That breaking of the bad. That's a great show.
Yeah. Bryan Cranston, a great pop star in his own day.
Oh, yeah. He was really good.
Mm-hmm. Also, I had a backup here, and it's Predators.
Yes.
Oh, Christ. I would go with that. Yeah, that is a terrible movie.
I agree. I thought that maybe people would have learned from Spider-Man that Topher Grace is not a scary bad guy, but they didn't. Oh, well. What is your ugly, Mark Fredo?
My ugly is Spider-Man 3.
Excellent.
That were true, that'd be hilarious.
It is true.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah. I think Spider-Man 2 is one of the best comic book movies of all time.
Agreed.
That being said, I thought 1 was, like, fine. I think 2 is, like, a miracle. And I think 3 is just, like, it's just sad, mostly. Because I was jazzed up about 3. And I went and I saw it in the drive-in, and, like, I was really excited, and it was sad. It sucked. It was just super disappointing and, like, so, like, bloated and busy and just, like, completely unfocused.
Mm-hmm. You already said disappointing, so I guess that cancels my question of how excited were you when you knew that Venom was going to be in the film, and then you found out he's only in the film for, like, 5 seconds?
Yeah, mad disappointed. yeah, very, very disappointed. So I was like, this is going to be great. And then it wasn't. And then we left. I just, like, left mad. So.
That's understandable. Yeah, I saw that movie on midnight, the night it came out, and I was pretty bummed. I liked that aforementioned broad from Terminator 4. I like her in pretty much everything. But, yeah, she wasn't good enough to save that terrible, terrible movie with dance scenes in it for some reason. I mean, I know everybody always rags on those dance scenes, but why did that happen?
Yeah.
And I mean,
No clue.
It's pretty bad. Like, I realized that, like, you don't have to make your movies exactly like the comics or anything like that. That's what Christopher Nolan has taught us, but, you know, the whole point of Spider-Man getting that symbiote is, like, it kind of made him more aggressive and, like, meaner, and did not make him, you know, like to dance and wear mascara.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm not sure where that writing turn took that character, but it was a bad turn. And everything you said about the symbiote being kind of a negative influence is exactly true. Like, you don't see Eddie Brock with the symbiote freaking out and practicing his levels on a flute or something. He's not doing anything fancy. He's, like, pumping weights because he doesn't know what to do with himself. Or he's, like, just sticking onto the ceiling because he's alone and weirded out. It's like, why would Peter Parker be tap dancing in a cafe or a bistro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our film.
I expected Peter Parker to look at the screen and then go, smoking.
Yeah.
Mr. Frisbee, what is your ugly part three?
Back to the Future 3. I like the series a lot, but as far as ugly goes, being weird or just not fitting exactly, part three does not seem to fit for me exactly. Like part one, he's trying to save his parents. Part two, he's trying to save his kids. This is Marty McFly, by the way. And part three, he's in the Wild West. And I don't get the leap in the storytelling. They try to explain it like, oh, Doc Brown just really likes the Wild West for some reason. And he met a girl there and he seems to be doing pretty well for himself. And then Marty gets word that he's dead or something. And that's a real bizarre way to wrap things up. I didn't really anticipate Doc Brown being into the Wild West. And I think this is more of a location choice in that they're shooting out of California and they're very close to the West. So they could shoot at these Western landscapes for, next to nothing and finish off this trilogy. And that being said, I think like there's a lot of elements of the film that are fun and interesting. That always bugs me out. Like even as a kid, you think would have won me over in some regard, but no, it's just strange.
Yeah. They could have at least tried to foreshadow a little bit that Doc Brown liked the Wild West, like at some point. They could have mentioned it, especially, I imagine that when they made part one, they weren't thinking of a part two and three. But when they made part two, they were definitely thinking of a part three. And there's, at least as far as I remember, there's no...
Yeah, they end with to be concluded at the end of it.
And I don't even think in that one there's like a drop line of... the Doc saying anything about how he likes the Wild West. Maybe there is. I haven't seen them for a while, but... After seeing Primer this week, I don't think I'll be watching those movies ever again.
I need to watch those as well. Is it any good? Should I find out on Junk Food Dinner, the podcast?
Yeah, listen to Junk Food Dinner at junkfooddinner.com to find out if we like Primer. We're not going to give it away here for free.
Nope. We'll give it away elsewhere for free. I feel like another... installment like this would be the Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
same kind of deal where you're just like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Right. I get it. It's a, you're shooting on location or something, but why?
Yeah.
Why are you dressed up in a time period like this? Yeah, I mean, it's Back to the Future. So the first one, he goes back to the future, which is the 1980s. Then he goes to the future, which is the 2000s. And then he goes way, way back to the past in order to get back to the future again. Mm-hmm. It didn't work for me, but it's there.
I understand that they wanted to go like 100 years into the past and everything, and that's why they picked that number in the Wild West, sort of, within the story. But yeah, the movie would have been cooler. Like, as so much as you're going into the past, like, how about a half an hour where you like also go to different times in the past? Like... Do a lot of past stuff if you're going to do any past stuff at all, like more than just 30 years ago.
Yeah, I guess it's more to be expected.
Slip around through time. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have liked some slipping around.
Like Waxworks 2, where they just jump around to this, that, and the other place. It would have been interesting if they just used the time machine at random. But no, that's what you get when you ride the Universal ride of Back to the Future. Biff in time. You have to bump Biff in different points in time. It's a weird ride. But yeah, that's jump around there.
That would have been nice. And in Turtles in Time, the video game for Super Nintendo, they jump around.
That's a fantastic game.
It's probably one of the best, yeah.
I think I have it on my Xbox. Maybe I'll play it later.
Sounds great.
My ugly is I had two. One's kind of obvious, so I'll go with the other one. And that's Blade 3. I like the first Blade. I think it's good. I think the second Blade is way better. And then the third one... it turned out that Wesley Snipes was like a real dickhead in real life, so they wanted to make a Blade 3, but they didn't want to deal with Wesley Snipes, so they made it about Patton Oswalt and Ryan Reynolds, and Blade's barely even in it, and it's pretty dumb.
I don't know anything about this movie, but it's got Patton Oswalt, you say?
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Patton Oswalt as a vampire hunter.
No, that doesn't seem to work. I think Patton Oswalt is a hilarious kind of stout dude.
I think.
Why is he hunting vampires?
I don't know. Well, to be fair, he is like the scientist part of the vampire hunting organization.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that's a real dumb thing to do to the Blade movies. And it was, like, so obvious, even back then, that they were just doing this so that they could maybe have a Ryan Reynolds as a vampire hunter spinoff that never happened. And I found that to be very disingenuous for a movie back then. Now I love it. Spinoff Hawkeye movies all you want. But back in 2007, I was agin it.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds has no luck with superhero franchises. If that was his first bout with it. And then, what was it, Green Lantern, which looked like a mess.
And Deadpool.
And then as Deadpool in that Wolverine movie, where he looked nothing like Deadpool, or didn't even embody the character to any... It was bad stuff.
Yeah, that was the absolute worst. They had Deadpool, whose nickname is the Merc with the Mouth, and in the story they cut out his mouth so he couldn't talk. That's like being like, oh man, we're going to make this Wolverine movie. But he's got no claws. It's going to be great.
That's what a Wolverine movie would look like in the 80s if Corman directed it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or he would have had, like, broomsticks as claws.
Yeah. He's got these breadsticks coming out of his hands.
And my other one was Scream 3, because that's, like, the worst movie.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel.
I think that now we're going to get into a little thing that we have not done in many months, and it's called sticking your fingers in the air so Frisbee can see where you're at. Actually, it's not called that because I don't have that music queued up. We're just going to read some mail that we got instead.
Okay, well, this is awkward then because the first email I have is putting my finger in a dream I had last night from good guy Greg of hidethebodies@htdkicksass.com. And Greg says, hey dudes, I had a dream last night that the Insane Clown Posse had a zoo. I think this would make a great PR campaign. They are native to Detroit, and when I picture the Detroit Zoo, I picture a lion coughing up cigarette butts. The ICP should give $3 million to the Detroit Zoo and an additional $3 million to a local university to build facilities dedicated to animal research. That way, whenever they are lambasted in the media, commenters would have to begrudgingly acknowledge that their contribution to animal preservation. Also, guest lecturers at the new ICC, which is abbreviated for Insane Clown Campus, would have the option to appear in Juggalo makeup, because if they did, the ICP would match dollar for dollar their efforts in a fundraiser of their choice. It would be kind of like when the KKK adopts a highway, except way less gay and more extreme, spelled with a large X. What are your thoughts?
I don't like it when zoos are in urban areas. The Cincinnati Zoo, like, is in, like, just like a neighborhood, like a normal neighborhood full of houses, because that's where it's been for, like, the last 100 years or something, I'm guessing. And it scares the hell out of me.
Why? I think that would, like, excite you to no end, because you love stuff getting mixed up like that.
I like it in that I don't live in Cincinnati. But if I lived next door to a zoo, I would be, like, scared all day, every day. I've seen Jurassic Park. I know what happens at zoos.
Well, I mean, yeah, you've seen Jurassic Park 2, and that's more likely the case, which just means it's going to be terrible. Visually terrible.
The zoo is not entertaining at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that'd be all right.
You would want to live
there. Yeah, I was just going to say, I just read a thing online about all these abandoned zoos in Detroit, so they're all set up there.
Like, did they abandon the animals too, or is it just...
No.
Oh, that would be scary.
They took the animals with them, I think.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, I guess there's no people in Detroit, so that might be all right. It would probably end up looking like I Am Legend, like that part where, like, the deers were there, and the lions and stuff. That would be kind of cool, I guess.
You have an intense stare down with a lion in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm, that might be cool.
I know this kind of distresses you, like parks, zoo parks, and neighborhoods, but I also need to remind you that we're from Ohio, which is specifically Dayton and Kettering, Ohio, which is the location set for the documentary The Elephant in the Room.
Mm-hmm.
about people who wantonly own and raise and then forget about owning and raising wild and extreme animals. Namely, this guy and his couple of lions that he kept in his yard. And I use the term yard loosely because this guy lived out of a trailer. Nothing against trailers is that you're usually camping on borrowed land at that point in some cases. But he had a couple of lions, and they got out. Like, this was on the news of, you know, highway traffic stopped as a lion jumps on a car of a mother and her two children.
I'm fine with that, though. That usually happens way out in the country.
That's what you keep telling yourself. Nah. Where are you now? You're out in the country, right?
Yeah, and if I encounter a dangerous animal, which I might because mountain lions...
Which you do, daily.
Yeah, daily.
All these insects sound ridiculous. Yeah. Like scorpions the size of your face.
Well, that's my own fault. That's my own fault, though. I know where I live. And if I get eaten by a mountain lion, so be it. I'm on his turf. Just like if you decide to go to Coney Island and you get beat up by the Warriors. Like, well, what are you going to do? It's Warriors' turf.
Yeah, I shouldn't have gone there. Sorry, boppers.
That's only if you're chastising them. I don't expect any less from you.
Yeah, you
picking
did.
Picking up those midget bottles and clinking them together. I saw this in a movie once.
Hey, Warriors, you like this, right? You know, from that movie.
Hold on, I'll say it. Warriors, come have some fun. Am I doing it right?
Yeah, that would get me beat up for sure.
That's true. Warriors hate it when you thank them for having fun as well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having fun.
Yeah, also, I don't know. I don't think this would work logistically because people don't accept money, charitable money from people they don't like as...
I don't know if that's true.
I think it's...
Talk about Kickstarter for the exact same reason.
Well, yeah. We talked about the story on this show a while back where the... breast cancer people didn't accept the money from Pornhub.
You mean the best cancer people?
The best cancer people. And Tucker Max, Mark Fredo's favorite writer, tried to donate like all these tens of thousands of dollars to Planned Parenthood, but they turned him down because they don't like him. So I don't know if the people who run the zoos in Detroit are juggalos or not, but if they're not, they might not accept the money.
Yeah, that's always a case.
Yeah.
That could happen.
And as we learned last week, or actually maybe not last week, but some people out there think that juggalos were behind 9/11.
Is that true?
That is true. We found it on a message board.
What?
Yep.
There's... What was the counter group? It was anti-juggalo. Anti-juggalo thought or something like that?
Juggalo Holocaust.
There it is.
Is a group that dislikes juggalos, and apparently they're putting out information that links juggalos to 9/11.
I'm convinced this is a joke group. But apparently they take themselves very seriously, and I don't want to test that.
Well, the juggalos we found on that juggalo message board took it very seriously. They were really upset that somebody would link them to 9/11.
Yeah, 12 years passed, and they're still concerned about their 9/11-related image.
9/11 was an inside juggalo.
You guarantee it?
I guarantee it.
All right, so that about does it for the mail. Let's get into this lightning round.
And now, it's time
for the lightning round.
At a TV station in Montana, on the CW of all places, an emergency alert system broke out, warning locals of the dead rising from the graves. This was done by a hacker, and calls to the police had to alert CW of this and let them know, and the public know, that there is no zombie apocalypse. It was just a hacker.
Or was
it? Probably a juggalo did it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would think so. How scared would you guys be, the two of you guys, if you were watching TV and then all of a sudden at the bottom of the screen it said that the dead are returning to life and eating people?
Well, if I'm watching the CW, I'm probably likely to get scared pretty easily. Because I'm waiting for Teen Wolf Kids and... The Vampire Bunch. Come on.
Yeah. I wouldn't be scared at all because everybody is so up their own ass about zombies anymore that I wouldn't even believe it. Like, I would immediately think that it was either some kind of, like, marketing for some new shitty TV show or some shitty movie or some shitty book. and just go with that. What I would do, and this is probably going to sound like a joke, but I assure you it's not. I would check Twitter because that's where the real news is.
That's unfortunately, true. Yes. You're absolutely right.
If I saw that on TV, I would be like, huh. And then I would immediately pick up my phone and check Twitter. And if people were like, my ham just got eaten, and it would be like, you
Instagram
know, from
hand
the same
bite.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, then I would be a little more inclined to believe that it was happening.
Would you be more inclined to believe that it was happening if it was a more obscure monster?
Yes.
Like the monster from, like, Scalps or something.
Yeah, yeah. If it was, like, a scalp situation, I would be like, holy shit! Or, like, yeah, even, like, a Mothman.
Yeah.
A confirmed Mothman attack or something. You know what I mean? Like, something that isn't just, like, everywhere.
It's understandable. Yeah, I think I'd be more scared if it was an obscure monster.
Yeah, nerds have ruined zombies. It's just, I mean, like, give it up.
At least for a while.
Yeah, Christ.
Like, when you got zombies, like, falling in love in that Warm Bodies movie, like, it's time to just chill for a while.
It's, like, embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take an allegory for the ultimate revolution and try to analyze it down to a mythology that's just unworkable. It's like, all right, so it's a decomposing body, and it walks around because, wait. We know enough about biology to know that a body can't move around if it's decomposing. Like, you're... What else does it do? It, like, grunts and groans. And it's really no, it can't do any of those things. If it's dead, it's not compressing air through its...
Hey,
what are you talking about?
Why are you ruining zombies for me right now? You leave your
They're
science at home.
They're already ruined, Parker.
You leave
Mark
your science
Fredo
at home. Mark
Fredo said it.
No. Well, yeah.
They're ruined for a different reason other than science.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying for science. I'm saying this now. I need
for
to let
science.
This out. Yes.
Now you leave your science at home. You don't
I am at home.
You don't
bring it here on the podcast.
I don't want you bringing science on the Pool Party Radio.
Has no business on the internet.
Should I just get to the next story then?
I would appreciate it, unless it has anything to do with science.
Believe me, this has the opposite to do with science. In Chechnya, a leader there is cracking down on sorcery.
Heart
Sorcerers,
science.
Psychics, and faith healers may be on the way out in Chechnya, which means that they're already in. The leader of the mountainous, overwhelmingly Muslim region in Russia's caucus has ordered a crackdown on practices. This is coming from Mr. Kadreyev, who, uncoincidentally, is a driving force behind the Center for Islamic Medicine in Grozny, the largest Islamic folk hospital in Europe, where healers perform jinn exorcisms by reading Quranic verses aloud. And jinn, I'll have you know, is exactly like jinn from that Wish movie.
The Wishmaster movie. Like DJ.
I-N, yeah.
Nice.
So he's basically performing a Scientology style de-lousing, I guess. Wishmaster movie on the go. They have them watch Wishmaster and have them imagine how bad their lives could be. Like, oh, it's not so bad. I'm glad I'm a leper now.
Yeah, I just watched Wishmaster Part 3 last night, and I wish that I was a leper instead, because the movie's
bad.
Do
you wish that you chose Wishmaster 3 as your best movie?
If I had three wishes, I would wish for that. In like a lot of news stories, you know, like, they'll say somebody's name, like, whoever the story's about, and then they'll add, like, they'll be like, Congressman Joe Joseph, or, you know, industrialist Joe Josephine, or whoever. But
it's the same dude. You're just reading the same story.
Well, he's got two jobs. In this story, the guy who it's about, Ramzan Kadyrov, that you mentioned, his title is Kremlin-backed strongman. And I think that's pretty much the best title you could have in life.
It's akin to old-timey strongman. So I imagine him having a huge mustache and a unitard.
Mm-hmm. A leopard skin unitard. But yeah, like, I think that's the best title.
A leopard skin unitard?
Yep.
Exactly that thing. Because what are they going to do with that skin? It's already fallen. Anyway, yeah, it's a great... I see why he chose this story. He's replacing one form of mysticism with another form of mysticism. It's very charming.
Yep.
It's like, don't believe these sorcerers, but we got to watch out for these jinns.
Yeah, the sorcerers are distracting from the real djinn problem out there. I don't know. Who would you be more scared of, a djinn or a sorcerer?
A djinn. I'd be more turned on by a sorcerer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be like, teach me your ways, sorcerer.
It's the difference between being afraid of the Wishmaster and Wishmaster and the vague attraction you get to Julian Sands in Warlock.
Nothing vague about it.
That's a big old boner, Parker.
Mm-hmm. I would, I think, be more afraid of the sorcerer if it was early in the day, because if it's a D&D sorcerer, by the end of the day, he would have used all his spells, and he wouldn't have any spells anymore.
His MP's drained.
Mm-hmm. I could just backstab him. At 10 points of damage.
And speaking of D&D, Mr. Kedreyev, he says turning to wizards and false healers won't bring them any relief and is banned by Islam. He also refers to them as charlatans, which cracked me up to no end. Charlatans just seem like a D&D name. I don't know. It just seemed kind of outdated. No, I'm thinking the wrong thing. Edit this part out. This is wrong.
I gotcha.
Oh, there it is. Found it. Okay. So Mr. Kadyrov called on Chechens to steer clear of charlatans claiming to have magic powers. I expect them to go down a list of saying, like, bards, paladins, half-orc wizards.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be trusted.
They also want you to stay away from the Charleston, that dance, the old-timey dance.
Yeah. No good can come of this old-timey dance and your knee swaying.
You should also never travel to
Charleston.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Or West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Either one, really. And also, their least favorite Fresh Prince character is Carlton.
And they don't like Charleston Jews.
What's what's the next one?
Taking a different turn on the lightning round. Man faces jail for disgusting extreme porn he claims was researched for book. Sen Luo, 40. And an expatriate of China, escaped from there, has more than 800 videos on his laptop and hard drives and claimed he needed them to, quote, research a Sex in the City-style book. Because what I remember from the bits and pieces I've seen of Sex in the City is how disgusting and extreme the porno was in those shows.
Yeah, the depraved sex that everyone was having all the time.
Mm-hmm. All the bestiality.
Yeah.
Mostly Kim Cattrall, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel... Never mind.
You gonna make a horse sex joke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, I like that this guy, like, whenever I've done research for anything I've written, like, I usually just, you know, like, I go to Wikipedia and, like, I read a sentence and I go, all right, that's confirmed. I don't need 800 videos on, like, 800 different hard drives.
I guess this guy's just a better writer than you.
That's probably true.
It's called commitment, Parker.
Yeah, look it up on Wikipedia.
I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, you sound like the investigator of this case. Constable Kim Negus, she says, these videos were disgusting and distressing. I viewed around 18 of them and had to have the sound down. 18 of 800? She hasn't even scratched the surface.
Yeah,
she
that's
not
nothing.
Dip a toe in the ocean. Yeah,
she probably had to have the sound down because she was watching them on the bus.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, if you're not into watching people being tortured while having sex with animals, like, 1 minute is too much. So I do give her credit for watching 18 of them.
You think she watched the whole thing, like, to completion?
I would think so. I would think that...
Like, up till they kill the person?
I would think, like, if you're going to persecute somebody and, like, have a trial and put them... Like, somebody has to watch all these videos, right? To see what all's in
them.
Your
Honor, I skimmed these, and they seem gross.
Yeah, like, you have to have timestamps for everything, and I feel like you have to be accountable. And somebody, some weird intern somewhere, has to watch all 8,000 of these videos.
How do you think you get that job?
I don't know.
to watch those videos or the book deal to research Andrew videos?
Both, I guess. But see, now it actually has legitimately become research for someone to watch all of these videos to prosecute this dude.
Maybe this guy had the same job in China, and that's why he had to leave.
Oh, that could be it. And this is just like, maybe it's his work computer.
Yeah.
I had to leave to China because of all the disgusting pornography, and now I'm being arrested for the same thing.
Yeah, like, this was this guy's job in China, and then, like, the cops handed him this laptop with the 800,000 gross videos.
I love how this has grown over the course of this story.
It'll be 800 billion videos. You'll never know so much disgusting porn existed on the planet.
I know.
I'm just trying to keep the facts straight. But, like, so his cop friends in China handed him this laptop, and then they were immediately like, what do you have there? And then he had to, like, leave the country.
Excuse me, sir. Mind opening that laptop I just handed you?
Yeah. We've got a warrant here.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Not as funny as the Bitter Barista. The Bitter Barista is a website created by Matt Watson, who has just lost his job because of said website. He decided to create it after working 2.5 years at a Georgetown coffee house, and basically just makes the wisecracks, quips wise with the jokes and whatnot about being a barista. They're tweet-sized phrases and satirical remarks about what it means to be a barista, and he got fired because of it. Folks caught on. Some thought it was funny. His boss didn't, though, because he jokes about his boss. While he says it was mostly satirical, that has not gotten his job back, but he has other offers already for other barista positions.
Oh, sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know stuff like this is, like, very popular on the internet, but I think this guy's just, like, a jerk. I don't want to, like, I have enough stuff to worry about in my normal paranoid day that I don't want to go buy coffee and then be made fun of on the internet for it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for baristas because I'm addicted to coffee, and I, like, have to have it every day, all day. And so I go to this one coffee shop by my work, like, a lot, and then there's one by my house that I go to. So I got these people that, like, know at least that I'm the dude that comes in and, you know, just, like, injects coffee and straight into his heart. But, yeah, I mean, shut up. Like, if you don't like your job, you know, bitch about it to your friends, or at least bitch about it in a way on the internet where it's not going to cost you your job.
That's the funny part about it, is that this thing was, you know, incredibly anonymous. Like, I went to the Bitter Barista website and scanned down, and it's exactly like a Twitter feed. You just scroll down.
Just get a Twitter feed.
And he has that. But what led on to this, here's the thing, like, the reason this guy got found out is because he's trying to do a music career on the side, and his, obviously this dude is working as a barista. He's one of the whitest guys around, according to his picture. His rap name is Speculation. That's S-P-E-K. U-L-A-T-I-O-N. And it was his speculation Twitter feed that he said, hey guys, check out what I'm doing on this thing.
What an idiot. I no longer feel bad for this guy, like, in any way.
You guys didn't feel bad for him before. I'm just saying this.
Bad when people lose their job over stuff they shouldn't lose their job for, but sounds like this guy probably deserves to lose his job.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be hired again. So
I'm sure he'll get a book out of this, too.
Probably, yeah. And
maybe Dunham has a book over relationship advice. She's only had a show for 2 seasons.
Yeah, nothing against, like, baristas or anything, but, like, you know, if you don't like your job, like, there's no need to be snarky. But I do like it when Bill and I get snarky about his job, like when he's busy doing science all day and people are like, "Hey man, your science is fake," and then he gets real snarky. I like that. Like, I think you have to, like, work real hard. Like, you have to go to school for, like, 8 years before you can start being snarky to people about your job, I think.
Yeah. And you know what? Of course you hate your job. You know why? Because working sucks. It sucks to work. But I love coffee, and I appreciate that there are baristas that want to do that shit all day. or have to do that shit or whatever. Like, whatever situation you're in, I appreciate it. But you know what? I know your job sucks. You know why? Because my job sucks.
Because every job sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I agree we live in a world of sucky jobs.
I bet it doesn't suck as much as that guy's rap, though.
That's probably true.
At least not as bad as his rap name. Speculation?
That is horrendous. With a K? Ugh. See, that leads me to believe that that dude has, like, no friends either, because if I, as, like, a, extremely handsome white dude, wanted to rap, and I was like, speculation. My friends would be like, no, absolutely not. So either this dude's friends just hate him, or he doesn't have any.
That's probably true. I bet he spends, like, so much of his day writing down words that rhyme with speculation, too.
Oh, that's so sad.
So far, it's just one word, nation.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't even gotten to elation yet.
Mm-mm.
It will come one day.
Yeah.
Maybe if he hears this podcast. Maybe.
And he clearly knows nothing about hesitation.
Why don't you... It seems like he knows a lot about emulation, though.
And self-masturbation.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you guys should probably get him on the show.
Yeah.
Seems a good idea.
At least in the capacity of our robot him. Like we do with most rappers.
Sure.
I just want to have him brainstorm better rap names.
Yeah, just have him come on. We'll just have him come on and say Your Good, Bad, and Ugly is going to be for rap names. And then both of you say that Your Bad and Ugly is speculation.
We'll count down like couples do. All right, on the count of three, just say it together. Ready? One,
we'll just say
two, three. Speculation. See? There it is.
He said it. Yeah, and then he'll just like throw up or cry or...
Mm-hmm. Or blog about it.
Or blog about it and then get a job.
Or refuse to give us 2% milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is really
I can mix whole and skim.
I think that's the thing I like least about this guy. Is like, that's fine if you like want to be mean to people who don't know the difference between like venti and grande or whatever. I don't go to Starbucks much.
Is that fine though?
Well, no, that's not fine. But that's one thing. Like, that's one thing. But this guy, he says, like, some of his tweets or whatever are, what a coincidence, you have a gluten allergy, and I don't care that you have a gluten allergy. And you can say 2% all day, but you're getting whole milk. Like, now you're just fucking up people's diets and stuff. Like, that's just, come on. That guy's going to have to do, like, all these extra jumping jacks now, because you gave him whole milk. That's not cool.
I do have to ask, though, have either of you guys worked as a coffee bar, dude? I refuse to say barista at this point because
it
seems ludicrous. Have you ever worked at a coffee bar?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay, what were your coworkers like at said coffee bar? You don't say the name of the place. I'm just curious. Like, was it a chain? And were they cool or were they way into their job?
Some of them were way into their job and some of them were cool. It was fine. I mean, I didn't hate working at this place.
Okay.
And I got that sweet brown nectar all day, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to drink coffee. A badoom!
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But,
yeah, I worked at a coffee place in Cuba one time. My title there was a Batista.
Yeah.
That's a pun, because.
That's a guy's name.
Batista.
It's a wrestler's name.
Well, Batista was the dictator in Cuba before Castro.
Oh, I thought you were going the short WWE route.
No.
I thought you were going the Dexter character route.
Well,
lost all of us.
I could have gone all day with it, but you guys blew my other two that I had.
I'll blog
all
about
day
it.
Batista. Yeah.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to open up the punnybarista.com where I just make Batista jokes all day.
The punny bean.
You'll get fired for entirely different reasons. These puns are terrible. Whoever's doing this is fired.
I really hope
it's my first day.
I really hope that we have a listener that took like a course in Latin American history and he loves that Batista joke.
I hope so too.
Which listener do you think that is?
I don't know. I hope they email us at poolbuddyradio@gmail.com. Please. That will really make my day if somebody liked my Batista joke.
Well, my short story to wrap up this lightning round is that I worked as a bar dude at a small local chain, and my first day, which was also my last day, involved a training session where my trainer pulled me outside so she could take a smoke break and explain to me the Glengarry Glen Ross style, just how money-oriented the day-to-day grind of greeting customers was.
Grind?
See, that's a good pun, because I didn't intend that. And I didn't have to set it up with being in a different country or anything. No offense, Parker.
That joke was really good.
Okay.
You watch a documentary about Che Guevara, and you tell me that joke's not good.
I'll get up to your level soon. But anyway, yeah, she's like, every time a person comes in and they drive out of the way, you know, their usual route to work just to see me, to see my face, smiling at them, giving them coffee. It's me doing it. I see a dollar sign. I'm like, this sounds like a fucking prison. Like, this is how, like, prison workers talk about working in prison. Like, all these guys come in, the dollar signs. You beat them in the head a bit, that's the only problem there is.
It's exactly like Grand Theft Auto. There are literal dollar signs when you beat people.
That's true.
And more than one person came up to the counter and said, I need this. And he stole the coffee cup from me.
Pills here.
I left for dead.
Mixing things
you need
up.
To say, like, cousin, we should get some coffee.
Hey, I don't know. You know, I don't play video games.
Not at all.
Oh, right.
Despite my joke that was a wild success earlier, I did sort of work as a barista for a short time, kind of, in that I worked at a movie theater that had, like, a coffee bar outside of the normal.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah, it was pretty great. It was outside of the normal concession stand, and it was, like, all by itself, so I just got to read because nobody ever went over there. But the times when I did have to make coffee, it made me really respect baristas because they were like, hey, let me get an espresso. And it would take, like, 20 minutes to steam and press these coffee beans for, like, a tiny little half of a shot of coffee. So I think that's probably one of the jobs out there that, like, the most work goes into the least amount of stuff.
But the best stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you, like, work in the 1870s, like, all day long erecting, like, one of those oil rigs made out of, like, wooden boards, and then you get a tiny drop. That's basically what it's like.
Yeah, that's exactly like that.
We have to steam and press this oil.
Yeah.
Give me a cup of bubble and crude.
Soy bubble and crude for me, please.
It's like there will be blood, and then you tell somebody that you drink their 2% milkshake.
It was whole milk the entire time. I saw it on the website.
Well, that concludes the lightning round. Now we're going to do something that we've been doing the last couple weeks, which is a total rip-off of Kissing Contest, our good friends who we're not fighting with, and that is TV Hostage.
TV Hostage. I picked three movies TV. That you've never seen,
right,
and you
right.
picked three TV. Movies that I've never seen, and we force each other to watch at least one of them, and if you don't watch them, you get shot in the face.
TV Hostage. TV Hostage is like their movie Hostage, where me and Frisbee will pick three movies for the other one to watch. They pick one out of the three, and then we watch them, and then next week we'll talk about them. So, Mr. Frisbee, yeah, it's going to be rough. Last week, I don't know if you listened, Mark Fredo, I offered Mr. Frisbee Puchinski, and he turned it down.
No, it was Puchinski and something else.
Well, it was Puchinski.
There's no something else.
Well, he added it on. The Puchinski and the other thing.
Yeah, the rule is you either have 1 hour episode or 2 half-hour episodes, so I gave him Puchinski. And since it's only a half an hour and there's no second episode, I also included some other show about a dog that solves crime.
Oh, great.
Which would sweeten the pot, I would think.
Yeah, right? That sounds great.
Yeah, I wish I would have chosen Puchinski because Vampire High was awful.
I thought it would be. I don't know why you picked that one.
So wait, you guys do this with TV shows? You just said movies, though.
Well, on Kissing Contest, they do it with movies, but we're doing it with TV shows because we're ripping them off.
What's Kissing Contest?
It's like a movie theater, I think.
Oh.
Just dudes making out. That's all it is. You don't have to listen in. It's just a bunch of smacking noises.
It's like, yeah, it's just... they don't actually make out. They just like eat bananas real close to the mic.
I would listen to...
It sounds like they're kissing.
Yeah.
I would listen to a podcast like that so much.
Relax with the 90 minutes of kissing sounds.
I would fall asleep to that every night.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
I would, if you love sleeping while cringing...
I don't know why my back hurts so bad. I mean, I was hunched up pretty much all night with this podcast going, but...
That this bed is soaking wet from sweat. Jesus.
I hope it's sweat. Yeah, I woke up and I was eating my pillow like it was a banana. I don't know.
I think that would be a good podcast. But
banana cast.
So, anywho, Mr. Frisbee, would you like to go first with your movies?
Well, TV
shows. TV shows.
Certainly, sir. Last week I had a theme of Merry Old England, and this week I'm being a little more generous with my offerings, because you mentioned that you were, I don't know if you mentioned this on the show, actually, you mentioned that you were into Neon Genesis Evangelion, mm-hmm. which is like a late 90s Japanese anime that's super fucking bizarre.
I thought you were like... going to say he mentioned that he hated British people.
That goes without mention, actually. Yeah, but
that's also on his crest.
No British, shun the children. But yeah, it's a weird, really experimental anime. So I picked a few that were influential on me before having gone to Japan, before, like, you know, getting an interest in Japan, that kind of shaped my view of Japanese art and pop culture. Most of these come from the early Adult Swim lineup when they're just kind of hoarding things that they could find for cheap. So first up is Lupin the Third. It's about a playboy thief, his samurai and deadeye with a gun bodyguards, and his big-breasted love of his life. And they go on to a bunch of excursions around the world to steal different amounts of wealth or art or what have you. And they're constantly being chased by Interpol's Japanese version of Inspector Clouseau. Up next is Cowboy Bebop. Have you seen this show? Because this one was wildly popular.
I know a lot about it, but I have not seen it.
Okay. Another show with style, this time like early 2000s. Basically a lot of the same stuff as I mentioned about Lupin the Third, except it's bounty hunters, not playboy art thieves. And it's in space.
And like
it has
space.
Has a lot of like interesting space stuff in it. They travel around in spaceships, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that kind of comes in and goes without mention, but it's not done to a fault. It's done to kind of explain how they get from there to there. Well, they use these interstellar highways and whatnot. So it has a sci-fi, and they kind of explain it, which I think you might like. And extremely stylish. Kind of a similar soundtrack to Lupin the Third, too. Lupin the Third has kind of a jazz bebop soundtrack, too. And so does this one.
Jazz schmazz. Am I right?
Nah, I know what you say about jazz. The last one in the series is Fooly Cooly, FLCL. This is all of 6 episodes long. Which means the less I say about it, the better. This is the wild card that I offered last week. If you think that's unfair, I've got a backup for you. But I think it's important in this set because it's an early 2000s show that was on that Adult Swim lineup that was and is immensely popular. And only 6 episodes. It is some of the craziest animation meta concepts. I mean, if you like Thanksgiving 3, there's a good chance that you'll be in love with this. Because it does a lot of the same techniques and styles in animation form.
I do like Thanksgiving 3. I'm going to go with Cowboy Bebop, though, because I've heard the most good things, and because I once wanted to watch it and never did, so this will be a nice way to get some closure on that show.
Cool. There'll be 2 episodes waiting in your inbox, then.
Nice. For you, Mr. Frisbee. I have a little theme going. These are things that are nightmarish. All 3 of these things.
Excellent. That's just what I wanted, was nightmares for this coming week.
Well, you can always listen to that podcast where they just eat bananas, and that'll keep you up all night. You'll avoid having the nightmares.
Nightmare bananas.
The first is Freddy's Nightmares. The first episode of this is a prequel to the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, where it talks about how Freddy didn't have to go to jail and how people got revenge on him. He was a child molester, you see, and he killed mm-hmm. kids. So there's that. It's like pretty cheap and kind of awful, but Freddy's in it, so that's cool. Second thing is Death Valley. Have you seen this?
No, I don't think I've heard of this.
Oh, it's an MTV show, a new MTV show. It is about an undead task force, a branch of the LAPD, that forms when the San Fernando Valley is taken over by zombies, werewolves, and vampires. It stars Brian Callen, who's very funny, and I think that Rob Zombie's brother wrote it, but I'm not sure about that.
That's a good sign. I like that. It goes well for anything.
And the bad guy from Lost's daughter is in it, and she's a fox, if that helps you.
Okay.
I know Mark's...
Foxes help.
Mark knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a fox. She's in this show.
Oh, cool.
The last thing is My Mother the Car. It's a 60s it's a 60s show where Jerry Van Dyke buys a new car, and he finds out that it's possessed by the soul of his dead mother.
Really want to pick that last one, because I've heard, God, like I've heard that has a pun and so many jokes and just has a punchline. Oh, boy. And I've been spurned by Friday the 13th, the series, to know not to pick Freddy. But I'm going to have to go current. I feel like I may have read something about this Death Valley show online somewhere, and it sounds really interesting. So I'm going to check that out.
That's a good choice. I think that show is legitimately good. This is going to be exciting.
This is exciting. This is a turnaround from last week when we could have probably hated each other afterwards, but we didn't.
Well, you could have picked that at 21, and things would have been pretty all right for you.
Or Pupchinski.
Or Pupchinski, for God's sake. He's a talking dog.
You should have picked Pupchinski.
I might still pick Pupchinski.
Pick him for this.
There's still time for him to choose me.
It's 2013, and we're all concerned about the Illuminati. Are you a lizard person? Do you need to cover up your hideous scales or possibly gills? Why not try one of our junk food dinner shirts from Hide the Bodies? We're gonna find all those triangles you put in your video. I guarantee it.
Alright, so we'll be back next week to talk about that stuff. And that is the end of the show, so I want to thank you, Mark, for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Always a pleasure.
It's fun. It's good fun to get together and talk about things, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's what fun is.
Yeah. It's the definition of fun.
So thanks for having fun with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find
thanks
Mark.
Thanks for thanking me for having fun.
You can find Mark at junkfooddinner.com. If for some reason you don't listen to that podcast, I suggest you do. It's about cult movies, you see. And also, you can go to his theater, the Spectacle Theater, which I don't know about. How do people find this, Mark Fredo?
I would check out spectacletheater.com for listings for what we're showing. We have a Vimeo page with all of our trailers. Twitter, Facebook, you guys know how to use the internet.
Nah,
what do you have coming soon to the theater to whet listeners' appetites?
Oh, who knows? In March, we have those three lost Herschel Gordon Lewis films that have recently been uncovered. The Vinegar Syndrome, just restored all of, and we're going to be showing all three of those throughout the month. We have, oh God, who knows? All kinds of stuff. Sorry, we're like trying to plan April, and like my brain's all messed up and.
Understandable. Well, go to this mysterious movie theater, everyone.
Do it.
Also, go to RottenRantings.com, because me and Jason Frisbee were on an episode of Rotten Rantings that came out this week. We talked about the worst possible movies. August Underground, Guinea
Flowers of Flesh and Blood.
Mm-hmm. And The Human...
Oh, God. Frisbee, did you have to watch those, too?
Yeah.
What did you think of August Underground?
Pretty bad. And not like bad as in the brutal way. I mean bad as in bad filming.
It's bad.
And
yeah.
Just bad story. They go to a tiny town in that fucking movie, for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. They just show up at like, hey, let's watch some model trains. Derp, derp. Not even set up for contrast. You can hear all about it, along with Flowers of Flesh and Blood and Human Centipede Part Dos on Rotten Rentings.
Yeah. And you can also check out Awful Flicks, which is a show that I sometimes do. I co-host with Jesse P.S. from Pod Awful. We just did an episode, our fifth episode in like 9 months or something, because we're on the ball. We did the worst movie, ATM. Nothing but bad movies this week. ATM.
Bad movies and bad TV. Yeah. We've really done ourselves in.
It's a good thing I got to watch, or maybe a bad thing. I don't want to spoil it for you, Mr. Frisbee. It's a good or bad thing I also watched Primer this week.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert, it was a good thing, because that movie's good.
Yeah, it's great.
Good, good. Yeah, I heard some people bragging about how Primer's on, you got to watch this. It was blowing up on Reddit. That's where I get my social activity from these days.
You should have watched it. It's so good.
No, it's still on.
Well, good.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Good. That was probably the best movie I watched this week. Because I had to watch all these snuff films. So check that out. It's at awfulflicks.tk or on iTunes and stuff. It's commentaries for bad movies. And sometimes good movies.
Mac and Me.
I was going to say Starship Troopers. But Mac and Me is pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's that. Go to poolpartyradio.com. That's where all our episodes are. Like us on Facebook. Buy a junk food dinner t-shirt. And everything else. So thanks for having fun. Oh, wait, no. I mean, this is Parker from Mark Fredo and Muhammad and Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe saying thanks for having fun.
Hell breezy. Let me show you how to keep the dice rolling when you're doing that thing over there, homie.
Silver sleeves left beneath, okay. Christmas trees.